Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. The holidays coming up, Christmas and New Year's. How do we make it through an already difficult time of the year when many of the measures we have to take to slow the virus, including, well, you know it, sheltering in place and social distancing, but these measures often exacerbate feelings of isolation and grief. And so we're going to talk about COVID and the holidays for this show, and also how do we safeguard a marriage against divorce. So here to help me sort out these questions and more is Brad Coates, author of Divorce with Decency, now in its fifth edition. And Brad is a frequent guest on this program. Welcome, my friend, Brad Coates. Welcome, welcome.
Hey, Diana. Great to be on your show again. And aloha to everybody and all your listeners.
Yes, he says aloha because, as many of you know, if you're regular listeners, Brad lives in Hawaii, where I used to live. And we have been friends for over 20 years. He was a guest on my show in Hawaii for 5 years many times, and on this show in the last 10 years also many times. So I'm really glad you're back to help us talk about this is a very difficult time for so many, and so many people are really struggling. So let's get into it. Let's start by talking about COVID and the holidays. And I think one of the things that can really, really help people is to set realistic expectations about the holidays. We need to be flexible. Things like travel restrictions and all of the other restrictions are out of our control. Of course, you have a different situation with travel restrictions because you live on an island, and there are islands in Hawaii. So tell us a little bit about how people in Hawaii are coping with this.
Well, our travel restrictions here are even worse because there's a mandatory quarantine. You got to take because everybody comes in by air,
yeah.
They can track people actually coming into the state, unlike a lot of the states in the continental mainland. So you have to be COVID free to come into the state. You got to have taken a test and demonstrated that you're COVID free. You've got to quarantine. It's pretty tight over here, and it's kept the numbers way, way lower than a lot of places on the mainland. That's for sure. But we're locked down, not quite as tight as the mainland, but and it's no picnic over here either.
No, and you've had so many economic struggles in Hawaii with so much. Let's see, what is the economy in Hawaii is something like 80% based on tourism? Is that it?
It's not quite that high, but we have been hit with the double whammy. Tourism is certainly the bulk of our economy, and unlike other tourist-based economies like Las Vegas or Orlando, Florida, where, the tourism may have shut down for a while, but people can at least drive there. We're getting hit with the double whammy of tourism being shut down plus aviation being shut down, essentially, like I say, with these restrictions that they've got. So it's brutal over here.
The economics are brutal. The COVID numbers are not quite as bad. Because, I'm sorry, what, Brad? I talked over you.
The economic numbers are horrible. The COVID numbers are not quite as bad, but people are getting hammered here, and it's from a standpoint. I'm a divorce attorney, and what they refer to as family law is very tough on families. COVID is. I read somewhere that 60% of all 2020 weddings that were postponed or rescheduled. There's lower if people aren't getting married, and if the uncertainty surrounding having a family, it continues to be so tricky in this COVID and the economic spillover. You can anticipate stuff like lower fertility rates, fewer birth rates, probably going to be the lowest in like 35 years, and it's already low. So it's a real problem for society as we know it.
Oh, yeah, it is. And, of course, the depression rates have gone up a lot. A recent study found that the COVID-19 pandemic has tripled the rate of depression in all the demographic groups in the United States. So we went from, you've got 27.8% of the adults reporting symptoms in contrast with 8.5% before. So we've got depression, and if any of the listeners are prone to depression, you know that you have it, and it might be worse, and you certainly may need to get some help and some antidepressant medication. Although,
you know, I read a statistic that was even scarier. I read that for younger adults ages 18 to 25, 25%. Said that they had actually contemplated suicide during the COVID period. Not just that they're depressed, but they're actually so depressed they're thinking about killing themselves. I mean, that number really shocked me.
And where was that? Do you remember where it was?
I saw it in the Week magazine. They had a little statistical profile of what COVID's done to places. Yeah.
Yeah.
But can you imagine 25% thinking about killing themselves? And they, you're right, the depression rates are at all-time highs.
Yeah, and that's just the beginning. So I think it helps. I can say this as a mental health professional, and I know you'll agree, Brad, that we need this psychological flexibility to help regulate emotions. And regulating emotions is very hard for a lot of people. I think it can help to kind of step back and shift your perspective when things don't really go the way that you expected them to go. And that means, you know, canceling a lot of your get-togethers.
Yeah, like just, all of them,
it's
yeah.
It's not safe. Yeah, it's not safe to get together. And look at all the spikes we had after Thanksgiving. You know, it was kind of a sad thing to say, I'll see you at, if the person said, I'll see you at Thanksgiving, that often meant, I see you at Christmas. The I see you in the hospital.
I get it. Okay. Yeah. No, that's a good play on words, but not necessarily a great trend. No, it's
not a great trend.
This is really ugly. It's interesting the effect that it may have on relationships, because a lot of people feel like they could would love to have somebody to help them through this COVID crisis. I mean, it's so isolating that I do know people that say, oh, you know, God, I wouldn't give for a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, whatever. I know people that say, I'm going to go out and find somebody to love, like the old song says. I don't know how you find somebody. I guess you got to see what their eyes look like. That's about all you can see of anybody anymore. But it is the temptation is to quickly find a relationship that helps get you through it emotionally. Not to mention the fact that because people are so stressed economically, that they, you know, there may be forced togetherness. I mean, I've heard of a lot of people, you know, house sharing or coupling up to share rent because people have lost jobs. There's kind of an interesting track, a discussion of fast-track romance, where what they're calling turbo relationships, where couples choose to move in together to ride out the COVID-19 quarantine, either emotionally or economically. So that is definitely a traceable event. People trying hard to find some meaning in life and some kind of a relationship that helps them find meaning in life. So it's pretty interesting how all this plays out.
Yes, and there will be repercussions for a very long time. But just to go back to what you said a few minutes ago, the online dating services are actually quite busy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's one way to meet people. And I have a close relative who met his now girlfriend that way. And so
apparently the match.coms and everything are spiking in numbers because that's the only way to meet people now.
Yeah,
I mean it's become the preferred approach for all the millennials and for over the years it's been growing, but now it's like exponentially exploding.
Yes, that's right. And I think for those who are sensible, it slows down the whole courtship business. That they may talk on Zoom or FaceTime and get to know each other and maybe write each other emails and before they actually meet in person. And I think a good question for somebody who's single and doing this is what does social distancing mean to you, that question? Because some people are very relaxed about it and taking chances and being getting COVID or exposing an older relative to it. So what does social distancing mean to you? And so that'll give you an idea if you're single to if you want to get if this person has the same values as you do in terms of taking care during this time and being responsible. I think practicing self-care during this time is really, really important. We always hear it, but we should do it. Sleep well, eat well, get plenty of exercise, and then I would add, of course, and this won't surprise you, Brad, and have sex.
More? Yeah, I knew sex would fit in there somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, it helps combat stress. Touch is so important to manage stress. And actually, the immune system benefits, too. There have been a number of studies that show that the immune system is increased with frequent sexual relations. The IgA, which is part of the immune system, goes up with sex. So there are lots of reasons to have sex, but we'll kind of get to that later in this show when we're going to talk about safeguarding against divorce because the lack of sex, as we've discussed on this program before, contributes a lot to a divorce, the lack of sex. What did you say in the last program? The three most common reasons. We'll jump ahead a little bit to divorce, but then I want to come back to the holidays and COVID. The three main reasons for divorce?
Well, certainly three of the main reasons are money, family, and sex.
That's right.
Money can be too much or too little. If you haven't got enough money and and one side loses their job and the other partner doesn't want to support them for much as long as they might have originally hoped, then they start going their separate ways. Even too much money can be dangerous. You get somebody who's got too much money, they think they're entitled to go visit Jeffrey Epstein on his private island.
Worst case scenario. Sex, oh my goodness. Yeah.
Sex is the same thing. It can be too much or too little. If you have differing sex drives, that's tricky. If you have too little sex, sex is one of the great things that holds couples together. But if one side doesn't want sex as much as the other one, that can be a problem. Or, too much of a sex drive and you start looking for sex outside the marriage, that's not good. So too much can be a problem, and so can too little. And then, of course, family is the tricky part. Trying to raise kids in cross-generational houses. Stepkids from a first marriage have long been cited as the primary reason for divorce in second marriages. If you not everybody's able to pull off a Brady Bunch kind of configuration. A lot of times, stepkids become a real irritant in a marriage, and trying to get everybody to to work that way. Even the decision whether or not you want to have kids, how you want to raise them. Fights with the in-laws, there's all kinds of ways where family can be a flashpoint as well. So I would say sex, money, and family are three of the biggies. And then the other one is that women always cite is communication. Women, it's been well established that women are much more serious about their levels of intimacy and communication than our guys. And probably the best tip I can give guys if they want to hold on to their gal is to communicate more, because that's an absolute bottom line for women, and guys sometimes are pretty dense about that.
They are, and since you've gotten into this now, let's jump ahead a little bit and make this a more formal discussion, in that we'll talk about ways to safeguard your marriage against divorce. And you know, communication is tied in with be a cheerleader for your spouse. You know, there's so many voices out there telling us what failures we are in a relationship. And those come from advertisements designed to make people feel inadequate. Whether they're selling pistachio nuts or sports cars, the implication is often that something is wrong or missing. And especially these days, people don't feel very good. So you need, if you want your relationship or your marriage, we're talking about marriage in this case just because we're trying to avoid divorce, be the voice of support and encouragement for your spouse. Kind of a shelter in the storm of disparagement.
Especially now during a COVID world where people are depressed. I mean, if you can be the one person that keeps your spouse laughing or solvent or appreciated, any of those adjectives probably become big sellers if you got a situation where people are not all that happy about their lives and they can get some solace out of their spouse. That's a big deal.
It really is, and especially, as you said, in these days. We all need a cheerleader in our lives. I say when I'm talking to my clients via Zoom these days, of course, if there's no major accomplishment to cheer about for the moment, then cheer for the small things your spouse is doing well. And recognize that especially if you're the husband and your wife has had to take over being the teacher for your children and maybe trying to do her work at the same time, working from home, maybe having to do still more of the homework. Housework. So being a cheerleader for your spouse is really, really important, especially these days, as you say, when it's sort of difficult to get it.
I think
the
that's a great point.
Encouragement.
I think that's a great point. People are super stressed, and one of the best stress relievers can be, physical intimacy, emotional intimacy, the positive reinforcement from at least somebody in your life is a good thing, especially when things are seeming fairly sucky. Being a good spouse to your spouse is absolutely crucial. Everybody needs somebody to love at this point.
Oh, for sure, and. And kind of in that vein, remembering that nobody can do everything is a good thing to remember, especially when we're just inundated with so many tasks and stresses. And I think it's misguided to think that a spouse who isn't meeting all of your needs is failing at the job. Thinking about a spouse... Thinking about, is my spouse a supportive listener, a thoughtful co-parent, a competent financial partner, oh, but my spouse is so maybe not the most adventurous lover, or my spouse doesn't really enjoy the same cuisines as I do. This is often the position some take. So I think in those moments, you take a moment to consider the qualities that constitute a good match and then prioritize them. Not every virtue or vice in your relationship is equal. But finding a spouse
yes.
who meets most of your needs most of the time is a win. And for those of you who aren't married, just change the word spouse to significant other. Because all
right.
of these
right.
all of these comments apply to any relationship, whether you're married or not. It's just that we have a divorce lawyer on as a guest, and so Brad's, how long have you been doing this divorce work now? How many years?
Oh, God. I think this was my 42nd year of practicing the Coates and Frye, Tanimoto and Gibson law firm that I started and still kind of run is the biggest divorce firm in the state of Hawaii. We handle cases on all the different islands. We've probably done something like 35,000 divorces over the last 4 decades. So I've got a lot of familiarity with how this can all work and with how things don't work. So, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
It's really. And, of course,
yeah.
you know, when you got a situation like this where people are prone to depression anyway mm-hmm. in the COVID era, you know, having somebody that's, like I say, still got a job. If both people can't, you know, if one loses their job, it's good to have somebody who still has a job. If one can't cook, it's good to have one that can. You know, if somebody, you know, when you're trying to teach kids at home and in homeschooling because the schools are all shut, there's a lot of things, like you say, to be appreciative of your spouse, and sometimes it doesn't hurt to. I mean, I don't really like the idea of even raising the issue of divorce. I think that can be a real deal breaker when people start, you know, if you don't do this, that, or the other thing, you know, we're going to get divorced. I don't recommend that at all. In fact, I don't recommend even fighting in relationships. A lot of people think it's a good idea to air out all your dirty laundry and your, you know, your personal views, and anything that's chewing you up inside needs to be fully threshed out with your spouse or whatever. I'm much more of a swallow hard and leave well enough alone kind of guy personally, but it's not a bad idea sometime to realize you know what the alternative of divorce really is, which is, you know, half time with your kids, you know, 50% of your net worth, your wealth, having to do everything all yourself, having to live alone, as much of a pain in the ass as some spouse can be to live with. It's, you know, it's a whole different set of equations to have to live on your own. Some people thrive on it. Other people, you know, really that in and of itself is enough to make them depressed. So you've got it's a balancing act. And again, like you say, it doesn't just pertain to marriages. It pertains to any kind of a relationship. The cohabiting aspect is an interesting aspect of all this thing, because, you know, you've really got this situation, like I say, these turbo relationships where, you know, people are, you know, moving quickly, sometimes more quickly, into relationships that they might have taken more time. You know, one of the things that I hear a lot is that people get much more serious more quickly. You know, these people that were getting used to being on these dating sites and, you know, no, it's, you know, it's not a fulfilling month unless I've, you know, interviewed 10 other prospective mates. You know, it maybe it's smart to choose the right one sooner rather than later, rather than, you know, because it's physically impossible to actually interview other 10 other mates. And like I say, people, there's a forced togetherness element of all this, but forced togetherness can also break up couples. So you may see a spike in divorce proceedings once the country fully does reopen in a post-COVID world, and people are able to go back to some semblance of normal. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. It's going to affect the birth rate. It's going to affect the divorce rate. It's going to, you know, it's going to be an interesting aspect of this whole thing, because oftentimes in any dating relationship, you know, the first few weeks or months are typically considered to be the most magical. You know, physical intimacy, starting a physical intimacy, that can create emotional intimacy. The initial thrill can be pretty substantial with infatuation. But then when you're with the other person 24/7 for months on end, you know, some of that can die away. So there's going to be some interesting ripple effects from this whole scenario.
Yes, lots of them. And I wanted to quote a guy from one of the studies, so we'll call it a case study, because I like the way he put it. My marriage had pre-existing conditions, and COVID killed it. And this was Dan, a 44-year-old father of three. And he says that before COVID, he and his wife felt free to minimize their differences and their time together. But once they were stuck living together 24/7, things took a turn for the worse. And Dan felt he was carrying a much bigger load for the family during lockdown compared with his wife. So the frustrations born of COVID time together led him to conclude, we weren't a partnership, we weren't working together. And so Dan filed for divorce. These kinds of issues come up. They're more clear for some people. They realize that that they just can't do it anymore. But others who maybe do think about divorce, and I think it's good to think about this, that you had what it took to fall in love, and it's entirely possible that you have what it takes to stay there. And of course, that's a goal of mine in my couples counseling. How can you not just survive in this relationship, but how can you thrive? How can you make it better? How can you just rediscover that love again and that lust again? Because so many couples, of course, are not having sex. And I'm talking about cheerleaders. I'm a real cheerleader for sex, as you know, and as regular listeners know.
Sex is huge. Yeah. You know, you absolutely cannot understate the importance of sex. Certainly to males and older males, you know, as you start to feel like you're losing your manhood, you know, that's a real psychological blow when you're not quite as virile as you used to think you was. You know, guys can face collapse. I mean, older men can face collapse on a lot of levels because so much of men's lives are based upon their jobs. I mean, when you think about the life cycle of a guy, you know, it's oftentimes sports in high school, the fraternity in college, the job environment, climbing the corporate ladder, junior partner to senior partner. That's what builds the identity of most men. Women have a much more extensive social circles. They got hobbies, they got organizations, they got clubs, they're taking classes, they're doing yoga, they got grandkids. You know, women cast a much wider net as far as finding meaning in their lives. You know, guys can turn, I'm in my late 60s now, you know, guys who hit this age, you know, they can oftentimes find themselves at a real loss for, you know, okay, now what am I doing? Because it is a so much of what they've done has been tied up with their career, and then all of a sudden they retire and they, you know, they're nobody, and or their male organs are not as functional as they used to was. So the next thing you know, older men can start, you know, finding depression, which is one of the reasons why, you know, and I've watched this happen for years in my divorce practice. You know, older woman will get divorced and she'll say, oh, thank God, I don't have to handle the care and feeding of this clown anymore. Whereas an older guy will get divorced, he'll immediately look for another wife to start taking care of him. I mean, men get remarried following divorce within the first couple 3 years, whereas women, oftentimes it's you know, many, many years later, or if at all. So it's a, you know, the genders were created to provide a certain kind of support and solace for one another. And you know, you're banging the drum on sex is a leading, what the economists say, a leading economic indicator of how good a relationship really is. So, I've always thought you're on the right track by making such a serious point of that. I mean, it's not the only thing in relationships, but it's a big thing.
I wanted to circle back to what you said about the men and their life cycle and their identification with their work. In the early 90s, I did two studies on aging and sexuality with an MD, a geriatrician, Dr. Walter Bortz. And these studies, this is when I lived in Palo Alto, these studies were later published in medical journals. But what Dr. Bortz said is that, and at that time, it was fairly standard for guys to retire at 65. And so he said so often he had to sign death certificates for men about a year after they had retired. They were no longer Mr. Vice President of such and such.
Right.
And they were at home. Of course, this is pre-pandemic. Now they're forced to be at home, but not having any work to do. And it reminds me of the wife who said, looking across the breakfast table at her husband, her newly retired husband, "Honey, I married you for better or for worse, but not for lunch every day." And there's too much togetherness. So you're right, that loss of identity with retirement, and we're talking pre-pandemic as well as pandemic, because men are still retiring in pandemic times too, or they've lost
their
involuntary
job. I mean, it actually could be even a bigger problem, because now you've got people being involuntarily retired.
That's right. That's right. They've lost their job, or they're involuntarily retired, and that is.
That's going to bring on the same set of psychological trauma that you saw before. Yeah,
yes.
It's problematic. It's problematic. Mm-hmm. I found the statistic that I was looking for while you were talking. Amongst the previously married women, 65% say they're not interested in taking another spouse, whereas
65%.
Whereas guys show that 80% of divorced men will eventually remarry. So it's a different deal as you try and go through life on your own for a man than for a woman. So,
oh, for
guys,
sure.
Hold on to your gals, yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that too. Well, we've discussed variations of this on this program before, but I've heard this before, where women have so many more resources to fall back on. And,
yeah,
you know, I also hear about older women who say, you know, I've met a few guys and older guys, and they're just looking for a nurse with a purse. And they don't want to have to take care of another. Maybe they've had a husband who died, of heart disease or whatever. Or these days, COVID. Oh, it's so sad. But they don't want to have to take care of another guy. So that's the problem. And I think that's why you have that statistic, 65% of the women don't want a new relationship.
Yeah.
I think it's too bad, of course, because even if we don't have a marriage, we could still have a nice relationship. And that's sexual, because being sexual really helps with skin and everything else. Rosalind Russell said, "Sex and joy is my best cosmetic." Remember Rosalind Russell? I mean,
I'm old enough to remember her.
Yep, 1940s actress.
So, I just found, again, I sort of thumbed through my notes as we're talking a lot of time when I think of things, you know. Here's the happiness hierarchy between men and women married and single. The happiest in the happiness hierarchy are married men. They're the happiest.
Yes.
Next comes single women.
Yes.
Then come single men. And last, the least happy are married women. So
right.
So it is the nurse with the purse is she's not thrilled with the situation a lot of the time. So you can see, and it's funny because in old school, I can't speak for these younger kids nowadays, but when I was completing college, I mean that was the holy grail, was women wanting to find the right husband as they came out of their 20s, and it's totally changed now.
Totally changed. And boy, I remember going to college, and I avoided this, but most of my classmates were in college to get their MRS degree. I mean, this is 50 years ago, but anyway, they were there to find a man, and I'm so glad that I escaped that. I gave a pin back to a guy who really wanted, that in those days it was engaged to be engaged if you got the guy's fraternity pin.
Right,
so I gave it back, and I said, nope, I'm going to be single. And as it turned out, I was single all through my 20s. And I grew up a lot during that time and got to travel and have adventures and really experiment with my sexuality, which I think it led me to my profession. Because I'm such a believer in that our sexuality is core to who we are, and it can bring us so much joy if we go about it the right way and be open and talk to our significant other about sex and share how your needs might have changed over time. Because I really feel that a significant other is not stupid or failing to pay attention to your needs just because he or she cannot read your mind. Some people have that expectation. If you really loved me, you'd know what I want every single minute. And it's like going on a treasure hunt without any clues. I mean, really.
Yeah, true story.
Yes, yes. So
take relationships seriously, have plenty of sex, and everybody stay healthy during this pandemic. There's a couple things you would not have wanted to be the last person to pick up. We always used to joke about how you wouldn't want it to be the last person to get arrested for marijuana just before they legalized it nationwide. And it's totally legal now where you are in Washington. And yet those of us that smoked pot during college, you could have been arrested and it could have ruined your career. And to this day, you could still, if you're in the wrong jurisdiction, you could still be the last person to get arrested for marijuana before it becomes legal. The other thing you don't want to do is be the last person to catch COVID before they get the vaccine.
A good point, Brad. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because just because we have the vaccine and they just started inoculating people, frontline people today in Washington State where I live, you probably won't get them quite as fast in Hawaii, although maybe they get it on an airplane. But anyway, just because we have vaccines that have started for the, doesn't mean we can let up on, in my view, on wearing masks and social distancing and not hosting parties and not getting together with large numbers of people. That's just stupid. And I have to say, I don't ever let this show become political, but I'm going to now. I can hardly wait till we have President-elect in the White House, January 20th. Because then we'll have a program that's more cohesive for fighting COVID and doing sensible, smart things. So that's how I feel about that. We've got to remain vigilant. Yeah, wouldn't that be terrible? There are going to be a lot of people that are going to get COVID before everybody's vaccinated. A lot of people. And we can prevent that by wearing masks and doing the social distancing. And it's hard. It's really hard. We're so lucky if we do have a significant other that we can quarantine with. And that's why the subtitle of my book, I had to bring that up, Love in the Time of Corona, the subtitle is Advice from a Sex Therapist for Couples in Quarantine. So, and Bradley Coates,
I think
you
that's
have
a, great
a blurb
one.
On my book. You
I love
have
your
book.
I love your book. I read it cover to cover, and I think it's great. And I hope people will read my book, Divorce with Decency, in one of its five editions. There's a lot of institutionalized knowledge, if you know where to find it, about relationships, about COVID, a lot, you know, and the tie-in between the two. So I hope your listeners are going to get some useful information out of this, and I hope everybody stays vigilant.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, some people are kind of still not believers in COVID, and I think that that's hard to believe that they, with all the photographs that are taken in the hospitals and the trucks that carry people who have died to the morgue. I mean, they're just the statistics are shocking. We've never been through anything like this, obviously. And I don't think many people are alive these days who went through the 1918 Spanish flu. And those folks didn't have all of the visuals. Be creative about getting together with people and not endangering others. Don't you think so? We can be creative.
Be creative. That's right. And procreative, yeah. Like I say, we're going to have an interesting period where the rate, the birth rate's going to drop substantially, and mm-hmm. you know, when you run out of younger people in society, fewer children will mean fewer consumers. So it's going to change the whole economy. 34%. Surveyed want to delay pregnancy or have fewer children as a result of the pandemic. So this is going to structurally change things, and we've already got a very low birth rate. The both birth rate in the U.S. hit a 35 low last year. So the 35 year low last year. So you know we got issues that are going to come out of this pandemic that are going to restructure society, and you know, it's going to be interesting to track where it all goes, because this is no joke. You know,
in terms of coping, we have to give ourselves space and grace to grieve, because we're losing a lot. We're losing a lot. We have lost a lot. We continue to lose a lot. So I would say we can lament the loss, but it should not stifle us completely. So you might even say, I'm going to allow myself to feel sadness for 30 minutes and then think, okay, what can I do differently this year as we come up to Christmas and New Year's? So we need to find new ways to celebrate and spend time with loved ones, and we can do that. And we've come to the end of the program. I think the producer just whispered in my ear. So we will finish up. And thank you, Brad, so much for being my guest once again. Remember, his book is Divorce with Decency, 5th edition. My book is Love in the Time of Corona, brand new. Well, not brand new. It's now about 7 months out. And so both of these books can help you. If you're thinking about divorce, be sure and read Brad's book. It's such a resource. And if you just need more love in the time of Corona, think about my book. Thanks again, Brad, for being with me today on the program.
Hey, I love talking to you, and I wish the very best to all of your listeners, and everybody, stay healthy.
Stay healthy
and stay positive. Yeah.
Stay positive. And remember.
And here's my best advice.
We're in this together, and we can do it.
Take care of your nose. I'm convinced that this corona thing is going to sneak in through the nasal package. They say it can be your eyes. They say it can be your mouth. I would worry about the nose. Keep saline going up your nose and keep your nose lubed, because that's where I'm convinced it's going to come from.
And that's why I agree with you. That's why we have to wear masks that cover the nose, too.
Right. Bearing in mind that I'm a lawyer, not a doctor, so that's not technically medical advice, but I sure hope everybody can stay healthy, and best aloha to all your listeners, and we'll sign off now.
We'll sign off now. Thank you, Brad, and thank you to all you listening. Yes, stay safe, and I hope that you have blessings over the holidays, different sorts of blessings. Maybe you reprioritize stuff and you cope well. So, bye, everybody.
Cosa leggerai con che libro affascini il tuo cuore? E se ti perderai nel labirinto di un amaro autore?
Ma i tuoi piedi, tap tap tap, ma i tuoi piedi, tap tap tap, oh, happy feet, ta-da-da, happy feet, ta-da-da, happy feet.
Telefonerai probabilmente a me tuo schiavo d'amore. Ti divertirai, che traguardi vuoi farmi trovare?
Mai tuoi piedi, tap tap tap, mai tuoi piedi, tap tap tap, oh, happy feet, da da happy feet, da da happy feet, oh, how I love it. Happy feet, da da happy feet, da da happy feet.
Che mostra andrai, un Picasso in fiamme ti può andare, ne discuterai con qualcuno che ne sa parlare.
Ma i tuoi piedi, tap tap tap, ma i tuoi piedi, tap tap tap, happy feet, da da, happy feet, da da, happy feet, oh, I love it. Happy feet, da da happy feet, da da happy feet, oh, I love it. My boy Betty, da 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 da, my boy Betty, da 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 da, oh, happy feet, da da happy feet, da da happy feet.
Happy feet, happy feet, happy feet.